My name is Garland Robinson. In a previous lesson, we've discussed unscriptural baptism. That is, sprinkling and pouring as a means of baptizing are unscriptural. We discussed that immersion is the only way to baptize because that's the way that's authorized in God's Word. In this lesson, we want to discuss scriptural baptism, that is, baptism according to what the Bible teaches. And we'll begin with the question, whom may be baptized? The answer is scriptural subjects, that is, ones who are spoken of in the Scriptures and have met with the conditions in order to be baptized. They are, number one, individuals who have been taught. We read in Matthew 28:19, the apostles were told to go therefore into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. And as those who were taught, they were to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One must be scripturally taught before he can be scripturally baptized. Number two, individuals who believe. We read in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Number three, it's individuals who repent. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Number four, it's individuals who have confessed Jesus as the Son of God. The man from Ethiopia confessed, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. That confession is to be made before men. Matthew 10:32. Is to be made with the mouth. Romans 10:10. Now that excludes making the confession by signing a card or holding up your hands. Now, all of these passages mentioned are specific in putting teaching, belief, repentance, and confession that Christ is the Son of God, that puts them all before baptism. Those who baptized infants, they have completely reversed the order and are saying, baptize them now, and let them then later be taught. Let them later believe, repent, and confess when they grow up. There's no way in the world for man to baptize infants without reversing the divine arrangement and corrupting the Word of God, because teaching, believing, repenting, and confessing must come before one is baptized according to the Scriptures. Now, what's interesting about that is that the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, has been accused of believing in water salvation. Well, of course, the Bible does not teach water salvation. It teaches that teaching the Word of God, having faith in that Word and the Lord, repenting and confessing must precede baptism in order for it to be scriptural. And if it's not scriptural, it is no baptism at all in God's sight. Being accused of believing in water salvation is so strange indeed, in view of the fact that those who make the charge practice baptism themselves. For example, if sprinkling water on a baby blesses it, then what blessed it? It wasn't teaching, because they can't be taught. You can't teach an infant the Scriptures. It's not faith, because they don't believe. It's not repentance. They have no sins to repent of. Don't even know what it is. And it's not confessing, because they can't even talk. So if this child, this infant, has received a blessing, then it was from the water and the water only which blessed it. Now that is water blessing or water salvation. A lot of people believe it, but we don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Baptism is commanded by Christ, but only immersion and for the penitent believer. No baby was ever baptized in the Bible. You can't find that from cover to cover. So, now that we've seen who can be baptized, let's see why we are baptized. That question is often asked, and it's a good question. It's worthy of our careful examination. Do you realize the fact of baptism is spoken of and alluded to in the Scriptures more than 100 times? Surely that's proof of its importance. No subject could be discussed so often and not be a matter of importance. Now, man's not the proper judge to decide the question of baptism. We need to carry the question to the Bible, and there let the Bible give the answer. and all who wish to be guided by the Lord will be satisfied with the Bible's answer. Now, let me mention some reasons found in God's Word. Why is baptism essential for salvation? Number one, Christ had no sins, and with Him it was to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3 and verse 15. Number two, baptism is commanded in Acts 10:48. Number three, baptism is the answer of a good conscience in 1 Peter 3:21. Number four, that one may rejoice as the eunuch did and the jailer did in Acts 8 and Acts 16. Number five, baptism is to get into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Number six, baptism is to get into Christ's death where He shed His blood, Romans 6 and verse 3. Number seven, baptism is to be raised with Christ, Colossians 2:12. Number eight, baptism is to walk a newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. Number nine, baptism is to enter into the kingdom of God, John 3 and verse 5. In number 10, it is to wash sins away, Acts 22:16. It's to be saved, Mark 16:16. Number 12, it is that one might not reject the counsel of God, Luke 7 and verse 30. And then number 13, it is for or unto the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. It's been contended by some who have attempted to evade the essentiality of baptism that the Greek word eis in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, which has been translated for or unto the remission of sins, a lot of people say, well, that's been mistranslated, and that it should have been translated because of. That would make it teach repentance and baptism because of the remission of sins rather than for or unto the remission of sins. The identical words are found in Matthew 26 and verse 28. That is, the words for the remission of sins is found in Acts 2:38, and it's also found in Matthew 26:28 in both the English and the Greek. But in Matthew 26:28, we find it's where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So, if we translate eis, for, in Acts 2:38, if we translate that because of, then to be consistent, we have to go back to Matthew 26:28 and translate it because of. It then would have Christ shedding His blood because of remission of sins. Well, no one would dare say that. Christ died in order that we might have forgiveness of sins, not because we already have forgiveness of sins. Now, let me give you the passage in Acts 2:38 in a number of different translations. Let them tell us what the word eis or the word for is found in Acts 2:38. To save time, we'll just mention just the specific phrase about the word eis. In the King James, we read, for the remission of sins. In the American Standard, we read, unto the remission of sins. And in the Rotherham's emphasized version, we read, into remission of sins. In modern speech, we read, with a view to the remission of sins. In modern English, we read, for a release of your sins. Number six, we read in the 20th century version, for the forgiveness of your sins. In the Anderson version, we read, in order to the remission of your sins. Number eight, in the Living Oracles, we read, in order to the remission of sins. Number nine, in R.A. Knox's translation, which is a Catholic Bible, we read, to have your sins forgiven. Number 10, in the Centenary Translation of the New Testament, that's published by the American Baptist Publication Society, we read, for the remission of your sins. Number 11, in the Riverside New Testament, we read, for the forgiveness of your sins. Number 12, in William Tyndale's translation of 1534, we read, for the remission of sins. Number 13, in the New Testament translation by George Campbell, James McKnight and Philip Doddridge, we read, in order to the forgiveness of your sins. In the English Revised Version, we read, unto the remission of sins. In the American Bible Union translation, we read, unto the remission of sins. In the Modern Reader's Bible, we read, unto the remission of your sins. In the Emphatic Diaglot, we read, for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. In Moffat's translation, we read, for the remission of your sins. Goodspeed's translation says, in order to have your sins forgiven. In Weymouth's Modern Speech version, we read, for the remission of sins. In the Syriac version, we read, for the remission of sins. In Worrell's translation of the New Testament, which is from the presses of the American Baptist Publication Society, we read, unto the remission of your sins. In the Douay version, a Catholic, we read, for the remission of your sins. In Wycliffe's translation, we read, into the remission of your sins. Now, friend, that's 24 versions or translations of the New Testament, and every one of them say it's for or unto, in order to have remission of sins. Now, who says that Acts 2:38 teaches that baptism is because of the remission of sins? And whoever does, they're at odds with the scholarship of the world. Men say that baptism is only a Christian duty, but it's not a Christian duty. All Christian duties are to be repeated often, over and over. It is a Christian duty to sing, but we can't sing just one time and that be enough for a lifetime. It's a Christian duty to pray. Can we just pray once in a lifetime? All Christian duties are to be done over and over again. And for preachers who preach that baptism is a Christian duty, for them to be consistent, they'd have to baptize all their members over and over again, because if it's a duty, it's got to be something that we do. The fact that baptism is a command to obey only once in a lifetime is proof that it's to be obeyed in order to become a Christian. And when obeyed scripturally, that command is behind one forever. You don't keep on doing it again and again. So, friend, have you been scripturally baptized? The Scriptures plainly teach that baptism is an immersion for or in order to have your sins forgiven. You can't find one passage anywhere that anyone was ever saved before they were immersed into water. Being saved comes at the point of baptism, and it is then and only then that our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. Friend, now what are you going to do with the command of Jesus that says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? What are you going to do with Acts 2:38 when it tells people to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? What will you do? How will you answer come judgment day?